Would you continue about?
And having had 8 years of illness, when I was desperately in need of help, I was getting none whatsoever. It was understood that the leader of our temple had not the time, that he came here with the idea of not being a pastor, of being a teacher, which he was, an extraordinary one. And I found all my friends being so helped by their pastors that they asked me if I didn't want to go to their churches with them. And it was in that way that I went to the first to the Episcopal Church. Actually, I was sought after by many denominations, and it was a little bit difficult for me to understand that that there wasn't just one Christian church. But I found that I was pursued more by Episcopalians. That's why I became an Episcopalian. And also, they had healing services, and I was very hopeful that by my faith that my husband might be healed, and that really drew me more to the Episcopal Church. Although there were healing services in other churches, it was mostly in the Episcopal Church.
What were the healing services?
What, dear?
What type of healing services?
Well, it's prayers. It's prayers, and it's putting your name on prayer lists where large groups of people, even over radio, are praying 24 hours a day for people. And many people have had healings, and I never have told this to anybody, but I had a healing. I lost my eyesight by very bad medical care, and suddenly, in the middle of the night, I had a healing, and for 2 days, I could see perfectly. I had nothing to disturb me. I sent for the man, one of the pastors who is now the dean of the cathedral down at Trinity, and I confessed to him that I'd had this experience. And one other person that I told it to, and it became the knowledge of a woman who was writing a book on healing who wanted to interview me, and I was too shy, and I wasn't interviewed, and 2 days later I lost my vision again. I have no peripheral vision at all. I see nothing on the sides. I don't see anything from here. I see from here to here. And the healing experience is something one doesn't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs, but you don't talk about it.
Are you very active in the church?
In the church?
Yes.
Financially, yes. I didn't come into the church until I was nearly 70. So that I was told that I'd be happier if I just didn't try to. The work is very time consuming, and I was too really to beyond the years where I could contribute to the church.
Were you ever active in the politics?
In politics?
Yes.
Well, I'm active in politics, but not actually as a worker. I was active in support of politics, and I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. And only have I voted for Democrats twice in my life, one being Judge Alpern and the other being the mayor, our present mayor.
Do you remember much about the war years?
The war years?
Yes.
I
There's so many
do.
Wars. But
well, I'm talking about World War
One.
I remember World War One because I was at college, and that's why I left Columbia readily when I was asked by the Strausses to leave, because the professors were all going into service. I remember World War II, particularly because my husband lost his health. His first time he had a nervous breakdown, he was in the service, and he lost his health that time. And
what did he do in the service?
Well, he was in he was the one responsible for purchasing the walnut for the gun stocks. And anything that he did with his whole heart, and that really was his undoing. Then he broke again later, of course, under the pressure, business pressure. He was very active in all kinds of community work, every kind of community work.
Do you remember any?
All the family. I have particular pride in the Lehman family because not one that didn't serve the community, either civically or philanthropically.
Do you remember much about the Depression?
I certainly do. I remember it very well because we had moved into this house and I didn't know how long we were going to be able to stay here. Am I being taped?
Yes, and it's most interesting. It's most interesting.
I very well remember because I didn't think we could afford to stay here. We had a very limited salary and showing my indulgences and my being spoiled, I sent to New York for the best photographer in New York to take pictures of the house and the garden. Had a tremendous expense, knowing that we were going to lose the house.
What else do you remember about the Depression?
The Depression?
Yeah.
I remember trying to get along and having everybody, my husband taking a cut in salary, all my staff, and I had a staff of about four people then, everybody taking it, and gladly taking it, proudly taking it. Very different than from today.
Do you remember anything about Prohibition days?
I was brought up in a family that never had liquor in the house. The only time that we had it was for medicine, and it was blackberry brandy, and I have grown up with never tasting liquor in my life, having anything to do with liquor.
Then Prohibition didn't in any way.
No, it didn't affect me. I didn't get rich selling it, drinking it.
Would you like to comment on the contrast between Pittsburgh today and Pittsburgh when you first came here, socially and...
I would like to comment on the fact that when I came here with the idea that I would only live here if I could go to New York and get out of the atmosphere, the black filth of Pittsburgh, every few weeks. Which I did, which my husband indulged me, and I did. It was never until noon that you could see anything like that. Everybody had lights on until noon on their cars. And today, of course, it's so different that nobody can realize it. And I was particularly impressed on one of our trips. And we traveled a great deal because of our business connections. And one of the trips that we made, this followed Mr. Lehman's death. I took one of my staff, as I'd promised. When we got to Hawaii, there was a group of Pittsburghers coming there to learn the Hawaiians sent for a group of Pittsburgh to know how they cleaned up their city. In Hawaii.
Oh, really?
And I was there.
Isn't that interesting? Do you see much difference socially in the city today?
Do I see a great social difference?
You mentioned before the anti-Semitism.
Well, the social difference is that I believe that you can buy your position today socially, if you're ambitious, that you can buy your position with your wealth. If you're an ambitious person and willing to spend your money to arrive at a position of importance. And I don't think in the early days that all the money in the world would have bought you anything. You couldn't buy.
Do you see any difference culturally?
Culturally? I think there's not any more difference than there ever was. I think that Jews have particular talents. And what amazes me is that the socialites were always willing to entertain the stars, the Jewish talented people who came to Pittsburgh, no matter what field it was in. They forgot their religion if they had tremendous talent, like our musicians. And more astounding to me is the fact that the Russian Jew is so accepted. It doesn't matter, because he has tremendous talent, unusual talent.
I'm going to ask you a question, and
we entertained a great deal, if I may say this, we entertained a great deal of European leaders in industry, because that came along in our business. And most of our entertainment, I had very few Jewish contacts because we were so involved in entertaining European executives.
I know you are very modest in your accomplishments, but what do you view? What do you view as your greatest success?
What do I think is my greatest success?
Yes. Don't be modest.
Well, I'm a sculptor. I haven't even touched on that. I am not a professional sculptor. I've never sold anything. But I studied under two really fine sculptors. One was Frank Vitor from the university at Carnegie. And then I studied with Gene Giddings at Arts and Crafts. And I have done all portrait sculpture and large pieces of garden sculpture, all of which I have comments about, but I never have sold anything, and I don't consider myself of any importance, except that people are always amazed that I've done as much as I have, and I'm still doing it even now.
Don't you consider what you've done for the Boy Scouts as one of your successes? What you did for the Boy Scouts, isn't that one of your successes?
I didn't hear.
Don't you consider what you have done for the Boy Scouts as one of your great successes?
Oh, definitely. It's probably the only thing that has put me on the map. I was just another person until we erected the building. And it brought into my life the contacts of the top executives of the city of Pittsburgh. On the Boy Scout board are the absolutely the most extraordinary men in the city of Pittsburgh in all industry.
Are there any failures that you feel in looking back on your life that...
Yes, my whole life's a failure.
No, never.
No, Mrs. Lehman, never.
No, I don't. I think perhaps my musical life was a failure, because if my parents were so anxious for me to be a star, I was certainly a very mediocre musician.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you'd like to record?
I don't think so. I think I put almost everything down on that piece of paper that I could remember that I thought you might be interested in. I think at the end I thought of something. Of course, I have all kinds of awards, and they're on here.
Well, thank you very much. My most
important award in the beginning was from Valley Forge. That was the first. And I have put them there with rather shyness.
It's been most interesting, and thank you very, very much.
What's on here? Do I have to say?
Yes, of course. Just tell me about it.
Well, I am a fellow of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, a fellow in perpetuity, and that was in 1965. Do you want me to talk about my awards?
Certainly.
I have awards mostly because of my contact with scouting. I have the Betsy Ross Award. That was in 68. I had the Dan Beard Award of the Cincinnati Council of Boy Scouts. That was set in 73. I have the Veterans of Foreign Wars Award in 68. I have the Artificers Award, meaning that an Artificers Award was given for people who do unusual things in the city and are recognized in the city. And the last award I have is hanging there, is the Builders, Owners, and Managers Award for Scout Center, for the building itself. It's the David L. Lawrence Award. It's a special, first time it's ever been given.
Yes, I've never heard of that before, and I'm familiar with the
I think what I haven't told you, I think I've written there, because I knew that I wouldn't remember anything.
Thank you very much.
And the only thing that's, don't put this down.
Will you tell me?
The bell was purchased by, I hate to say by me, the bell was purchased for the purpose of celebrating the bicentennial.
What kind of a bell?
The original bronze bell from the Whitechapel factory in London was purchased for the purpose of being used for the bicentennial in southwestern Pennsylvania, but will ultimately be housed at Scout Center. It was first shown at the Bicentennial Dinner of 1974 and has since been around parts of western Pennsylvania for their celebration.
Where was the dinner held?
The towns?
The first dinner, when it was first shown?
Oh, at Carnegie Institute. It was first shown at Carnegie Institute. Then its ultimate home will be at Scout Center. For this dinner, which will be in April of 76, will be an 8-foot statue of this. Now, this won't be published before April, will it? Nothing like that.
No.
I have purchased a Statue of Liberty, 8-foot Statue of Liberty of copper sheets made from the drawings of the original Statue of Liberty. And that will be shown for the first time at the bicentennial, the first and last of the dinners of the bicentennials on April 29th, 1976.
Where will it be housed?
Where is it now?
Where will it be housed permanently?
Permanently will be housed in the additional building that's to be known as the bicentennial addition to the Boy Scouts.
Oh, you were building a new addition to it?
Yeah, but I'm not doing that until I die. The drawings are made.
Yeah.
And it will be built on whatever I have left, if the banks by that time have anything left, taking what they do for interest money now.
Tell me, why did you decide to buy the bell and the Statue of Liberty?
Because we represent at Scout Center the ideals of freedom and our appreciation of our inheritance as Americans, and reach into the homes of thousands of boys in the area. Now,
everything that you added was of most interest.
Later, not now, but later in that building, will be a podium with the eagle. But I don't think we want that yet, because that's even in the drawing stages. The Statue of Liberty is ready. We've taken pictures of it. It's ready. And I think it will receive very favorable comment, because it's a marvelous piece of work.
Again, thank you very much.